Happy to see you this morning. Hope you got a copy of your newsletter. If you did, you recognize that it is Sister Mary Martha's birthday on Wednesday the 19th. Happy birthday. Amen. Pastor Hilly update. Brother Hilly is doing a lot better. He's walked and he understands everything that's happened to him as much as he can. He had another surgery this morning. I don't know how that went. I haven't heard an update on it. But he is doing much better by the grace of God. He's off the ventilator and all that. And hopefully he can be getting back to serving the Lord soon. I'm sure it's going to be a little while. But he's a very strong man. I'm sure he'll be back in the pulpit as soon as he gets there. In fact, he's probably scratching the bed right now trying to get out. About getting there. And we need him in the pulpit. We need men like him in the pulpit all the time. So amen. Praise the Lord for that. If you will turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is the parable of the unjust judge and the widow. But we're not going to study the parable itself. There's something we want to take out of this. And we're going to key off of it on what we're teaching. In verse 1, the Lord wrote here, "And he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint." Saying there was a city, in a city, a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. That like judges today, doesn't it? And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, "Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest or that not by her continual coming, she wearied me." Sorry, my allergies struck up. And the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear along with them? And I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" I titled this message, and it's a long one. I'm going to try to speed through it. I titled this after our verse 18, which is our text scripture, "When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" That's a good question. Mm-hmm. And the answer is going to be very little. And the reason I say that is because of very little faith today. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about saved people. I'm not talking about people that have been saved. I'm talking about real faith, strong faith, faith in the Lord, faith in the Word of God, faith in the church. Amen. These are the faiths that count. And they're all one faith. And that's the faith that God gave us when he saved us. That's one of the spiritual benefits God gave to us. Amen. Was faith. And that's saving faith. And that saving faith keeps us where we're at. Mm-hmm. And that's our stronghold inside of us. Faith in God is shown by our prayer life. How strong is your prayer life? Faith in God is shown in our contentment to God and what God has given to us as children. How strong is your faith? Faith in the Lord is shown by our study of the Scriptures and expanding our minds in His Word. How strong is your faith? Our faith is gauged on attending church, working in the church, supporting the church, and not failing to be supportive of the members of the Lord's church. Imagine our church eventually shutting its doors because we cannot support and do the work of God in this community, because our faith has become so weak, we care more about this world than we do about God. If Jesus came today, how strong will your faith be? Amen. Lord said we cannot serve God and mammon. One will cause us to hate or disrespect the other. Our faith must be strong in the Lord. It must be strong in the Word of God. It must be strong in the church. It must be strong in the teaching of God's Word. Amen. So when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith upon the earth? Again, I'll say very little. Amen. A lot of Christians have pulled away from the Lord's churches and from God. Church hasn't left them, they left the church. A lot of churches have left the Lord. The Lord didn't leave them, they left the Lord. They left the truth. And it all focuses back to one thing, their standing in the world. They worry about things. If we're worried about things, we cannot be strong in faith, can we? Amen. Every time we worry, it shows a lack of faith. And it's something we need to build upon, correct in our lives. We have, as Christians, nothing to worry about, because we are in the ordained will of God. God has predetermined our walk in life. Ephesians 2:10. And that walk is what we will do. We are not stronger than others. God has given us more grace than others. Amen. And we need to utilize that grace. Utilize that strong faith in serving our Lord in spirit and truth. That's the only way to serve God, is spirit and truth. Amen. John 4:24. So let's go to our first point, because I said it's a long message. I have a lot of scripture. I'm going to try to hurry through it, but you know how that goes with me. Sometimes I am terrible about chasing rabbits, and this message is for rabbits. The context of this passage is dealing with the prayers of God's elect. In verse 1 it says, "And he spake a parable unto this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint." That's Christians. That's men in the church. That's not just men, but also the women. Always pray. Always pray. What's your prayer life like? How many times a day do you pray? You can't pray enough to God. If your life is anything like mine, you have more to pray about than you could possibly have the wind in your lungs to pray for. God's people, every single child of God, ought to learn how to pray and pray continuously. Amen. Always talking to our Father. So what is prayer? Prayer is talking to our Father, isn't it? Amen. It's talking to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of all Masters, the King of all Kings. So many in this world don't have an opportunity to talk to God. And on the flip side, they don't have an opportunity to be heard of God, because God don't hear lost people. But he hears his children. He hears us continually. He hears every time we ask for something. Lord said we can't ask too much and we can't ask for enough. Because God is always there to hear our prayers, whether it's early in the morning, late evening, or throughout the night. God's always there to hear your prayers. Our prayers to God is what keeps our faith strong. The more we talk to our Heavenly Father, the stronger our faith will get. So it's our privilege and our honor that we may pray. It's our duty to pray. Therefore, we ought to pray. And when we sin, if we neglect, we sin if we neglect to talk to our Heavenly Father. I've been seeing some things on Facebook talking about children and family, mostly children, missing their parents when they're gone. If you had a godly mother and godly father, or just a mother and father, you miss them. I miss my mom all the time. Every time I think about her, I miss her. And that's quite often I think about my mom. My dad was a sorry rat, a drunk that beat his wife and beat his children. I didn't hate him. I didn't disrespect him. I did some, but not like I should have. But what about, and people talk about, you know, then thinking about your parents when they're gone, but not now. Everybody's going to be gone one day, aren't we? Well, that's the way our Heavenly Father is. Do we neglect to talk to our Heavenly Father? Do we neglect to sit down and have that conversation with Him multiple times a day about our problems? You know, we complain about things, but are we taking them to the Lord? Why not? If not. Our prayer shows our faith in God. The lesser the prayers, the weaker the faith. Lord Jesus is not talking about when He comes back, are we going to have faith in Him? He talked about how strong will our faith be. How strong will the Lord's churches be? They're weak. And they're not weak because of the people that left them. They're weak because of the people that left. Because they quit praying now. They quit talking to their Father. Don't tell me you talked to God and left the Lord's church. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me you talked to the Lord and you're no longer going to church. Don't tell me that. I know people that have had great troubles in the churches. I'm talking about my members and even pastors that are still going to church. Every reason to leave, but they're not going to. You know why? Because their faith in God. Their faith is strong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So let's look at a few scriptures. First is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. And if you haven't read 1 Thessalonians 5, read it. You know, there's 22 commandments in there. There may be more than that. That's what I found. In verse 17, we are to pray without ceasing. Now, it's certainly not praying without stopping, is it? I mean, we have to stop for eating and going to work and things, don't we? But we are to pray without ceasing. That is, we're praying without letting anything else get in our way. Don't just stop praying for something. It can wait. You're talking to the Father. Finish your conversation. Pray about everything. God knows everything, doesn't He? Amen. Pray about it. You need something. You want something. There's something you desire. You have a need. Pray about it. Your Father already knows about it. In Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Luke 21, 34. He says, take heed to yourself, lest or that not at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. Did you hear that? And cares of this life. And so that the day come upon you unawares. People can't stop worrying about life, can they? We worry about what's going to happen to us, and that's sin. Because the question must be, do we worry about, or do we trust God? Is our faith strong in the Lord? How many times, and we're going to get to it in a minute, how many times in the Word of God did God tell us to be content? Many times. We're going to see it today. Many times in His Word, He's told us as Christians, be content. That's content with your health. That's content with your finances. That's content with your family. That's content with every section of your life. Our Father controls our life. He controls every aspect of it. Nothing happens to you, just like Job. Nothing happens to you that God does not control. He may allow Satan to do certain things, but Satan can't do anything without God allowing it to be. So when the Lord tells us not to overcharge ourselves with cares of this life, this example of overindulging in life of this life in this world, we become drunk in worldly things. You understand what I'm saying? We become drunk in worldly things. I'm not going to tell you not to vote for President of the United States. I think that's how God gets his, whoever he wants in there. But what I am going to tell you is don't worry about it. Don't worry about the socialists up there and the liberals up there and the heathens up there. Bookmarks. Don't worry about the things around you. Don't worry about this world. It's going exactly the way God ordained for it to go. Go to Luke chapter 16. So we become drunk on worldly things. And that we care too much about our life here on this earth. I know people, some of them even pastors, that have lost their loved ones and just can't get over it. Their wife, even their children. Folks, them are earthly things. Lord, give it, and Lord, take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We have to move on in life. I know it's hard. I lost my wife. Rebecca lost her husband. Others have lost their spouse. If we're taking things to the Lord, we're allowing things to be answered. And it's easier to move on. Some people say, well, you just don't. I do know. I understand. I've been there. I've done it. Folks, life here on this earth is life on this earth. We can't waste our life away, fail to go to church, fail to serve the Lord over life events. Somebody hurt your feelings. Tough. Somebody said something that really drove home to you. Get over it. Go to them, tell them, you hurt my feelings. Let them explain it to you. Maybe it's not what you thought it was. How many people have jumped up and run off and left church because they had a misunderstanding? We're not brilliant. We don't understand the thoughts of others. God does, we don't. I've said things and people took it personally. It wasn't meant that way. That's just the way it seemed to them. Or maybe it's the way it came out. I'm not real bright sometimes. Caring too much about this life will cause us to have weak faith. To have less prayer life. And less dependency on God. People can no more solve the issues in their life than lost people can work their way to heaven. We cannot accomplish it. The strength in our faith is our prayer and believing God's going to care for us. Because He is. In Luke chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either one will hate the other, or one will love the other, and else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You shall not serve God and mammon." You hear that? That's life too, folks. It will cause you to despise God. It will cause you in your life to grow weaker in the faith of God. Why are we not trusting God? And I'm not talking about just losing a spouse or child or something like that. God ordained our life. Every life is in the hands of God. He set our vows. We cannot pass them. Sometimes we dig our own holes in life, and things happen to us because we dug those holes. But God will get us out of those holes if our faith is strong enough in Him to be content with His answers. Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer." Patient. And tribulations. That is faith. And the stronger your patience is, the stronger your faith is. What's it go back to? Every bit of it. Every bit of it goes back to our faith in God, doesn't it? Our faith in Jesus. Our faith in the Word of God. Every bit of it. Everything in our life goes right to there. How strong is our faith in the Lord? I'm going to die. If Jesus don't come first, I'm going to die. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 10 years, 15 years. Could be more than that, I don't know. And when I do, I want Rebecca to be alone. It's hard, but it also comes back to trusting God. We are to rejoice in the hope of God because God has given to us hope in Christ. Keeping that hope alive and keeping that hope strong by our faith in God. In this, when troubled times come, we don't fold our tent. We don't go crazy in life. We simply bow and talk to our Father. When you was a child, and if you had a good father, when you was a child and you got into trouble, you wouldn't talk to your father. Maybe you could, ladies, talk to your mother. Why? Because you wanted an answer. You wanted someone to talk to. You wanted someone you could have faith in. And that's who God was. That's who God is. That's who God will always be. Our shield our buckler in life. Everything we need, and our faith must be strong in the Lord. Stronger in the Lord than it is in this world. Remember, if they hate you, they hated Jesus first. They hated God first. They hated Jesus so much they killed him. Those who were supposed to be the religious leaders of our time, if you read your newsletter, killed the Son of the living God and the man Christ Jesus. Crucified him. Because God ordained it, didn't he? And God ordained your life. Whatever it is, God ordained it for you. Be happy. Be faithful. Don't lose your faith. Don't let the world events get to you. Don't let the world events separate you from God. It's okay not to love everything the world loves. If we did, we'd be lost, wouldn't we? Lord told us to come out from them and be you separate, didn't he? Trusting in God, keeping a strong faith. Give me my allergies again. Second, we must never lose heart in God. That is called staying content. He said in verse 7 of our text, if you go back to Luke 18, verse 7, shall not God avenge his own elect? The problem here was the lost judge not wanting to avenge the widow. And he finally, not because he feared God, but finally came around to avenging her, didn't he? But see, I'm not depending on some lost judge for anything. The Lord controls them too. I guarantee you that old judge had a change of heart because God put it in him. Our avenger is God. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Verse 7 says, shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? He may not always speedily. He may not always do it as fast as you want. He may not always do it the way you want. We're certainly not going to tell our Heavenly Father and the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God of all gods, what to do, are we? Do we pray to our Father like some children talk to their dads these days? You do this or you do that. No. We do not. We reverence our Father. We know who He is. And He deserves our utmost respect, so we request of Him. It's called supplications. So the question must be, do you have God, faith in God? Do you trust God? These are not irrelevant answer questions. These are very relevant questions for even the strongest of Christians. The cry out to Him day and night, no matter how bad the trials, persecutions, or tribulations get in life. Never lose faith in God. Never fail to pray. Never fail to cry day and night unto God. He's there all the time. He doesn't sleep. Jesus doesn't sleep. Heaven never closes down. It says, shall not God avenge his own elect? Verse 7. Please understand, our Father tells us that he permits suffering among his servants. He's the one sent Jesus to the cross. He's sitting there to the cross to pay our penalties. He's sitting there to pay for our sins, but he's sitting there. The whole crucifixion, the whole beating he took, everything pictured there in the crucifixion of Jesus was the Father's doing. Because our sins must be paid for. Ephesians 1, if you will. The Lord says, I will, in verse 8 of our text, says, I will tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Yes, God will avenge his own land. And in a speedy fashion. But on his own time. Don't worry about when God's going to do it. Just ask and finish it. Be done with it. This is our faith in God. Our failure in faith is to give up and fold under suffering of this world. How strong is our faith? God promised a speedy fashion. Our focus is to remain faithful till the end. And that faith begins with a steady prayer life. Christian's fall begins when our communications with our Heavenly Father weakens or stops. Real and true faith is a gift from God, given to us to deal with life, to how to deal with God and the things of God. No matter what they are, millions and tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of Christians died at the hands of people who called themselves Christians and hated God, hated the church, hated Christ. Amen. And they called themselves Christians. And God allowed it, didn't he? In fact, he ordained it, didn't he? Go back to their faith, how strong it must have been. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 23 reads as follows. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, listen, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. That's our prayer, isn't it? That's what we pray for, isn't it? Lord, give us more knowledge. And knowledge of you, knowledge of your working. Keep us strong, Lord, in the faith. So when Jesus comes again and I'm here, I will have strong faith. Verse 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You know those things because you've been taught them. Put the things you've been taught in your life to work for you and your prayer life. And your love for the Father. And your understanding of the works of God. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to, listen, the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him on his own right hand in heavenly places. He also sent him to Calvary, didn't he? Lord may lead you to the coals of fire. He may push you into the coals of fire, but you're not walking alone. How about those that were pushed into the fiery furnace? Not a stench of smoke on them. Amen. So many others in the history of the Bible. Not a stitch on them. Verse 21, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also that which is to come. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 22 and 23, verse 2, and hath put all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Filleth all in all. I'm sorry, I gotta grab my paper towel here. I took an olive pill, but sometimes the things don't work. So the world will not supply your needs. Trying to get yourself through it. Failing in your faith, failing in your church attendance, failing in your reading, failing in your prayer life is not going to get you through it. You're not going to solve your own problems. You have to put your problem before the Lord and trust the Lord to handle them. What is trusting the Lord to handle your problems? Not worrying about them. Again, it goes back to what? Contentment. Giving the Lord your request multiple times a day and then being content that the Lord's going to handle them. Luke chapter 17, if you will. Can our faith weaken or grow? Absolutely. That's what this is talking about. When Jesus asked the question, when Jesus comes again, will he find faith on the earth? That's not saved people. He's going to find saved people. They're going to be here. And they're all from all parts of the world. But the faith he's talking about is strong in the Word of God. It's strong faith in the Father, strong faith in him, strong faith in the Word of God, strong faith in the churches. And the answer is no. He will find some. But he will not find all. Because so many were part of apostasy. And because their faith is weak, they allowed the world to cause them to be part of apostasy. So our faith must grow, and chapter 17 of Luke, verse 5 and 6, he says, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. That's what we need, isn't it? Do we ask God to increase our faith, our wisdom, our knowledge, our understanding? Or do we just pray that God will increase our paycheck? Give us a better house, a better car. Maybe help our child get to college. What are them requests? They're worldly, aren't they? Not one of them has anything to do with God, as far as our request can be. They all have something to do with God, but not according to what we should be talking about. We should be asking God for wisdom and understanding. Well, I'm smart enough. You're never smart enough in the Word of God. I don't care who you are. Verse 6, and the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this seven, I'm stuck. Sycamore tree, and I know I mispronounced it, I'm sorry, my mind's in a hurry. Be thou plucked up by the roots, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. What more do you say? Lord, it's all about our faith, isn't it? How strong is our faith? Lord just told us what can happen if we have not faith. Do you believe God? The context is about forgiving our failed brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 3 and 4 says, sometimes it takes a greater faith to do it. If we lack, God will give it. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. What's the author and finisher mean of our faith? The author means a leader or captain of our faith, and the finisher means the perfecter of our faith. So he gives us our faith, and then he perfects our faith. It's as strong as the Lord will make it. You're not making your own faith. You're not making your own faith strong. But you can make it weaker. Because God, Jesus, is the giver of stronger faith. You want stronger faith? The Lord says over James, if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives all men liberty. If you lack faith, stronger faith, and you want stronger faith, and all of us should want stronger faith, we pray to God for it. You want to better understand God's word? Pray about it. You want to solve your problems in life to cure you of some of the bad things in your mind, ask of God. I got to hurry. Hebrews 2:10 says, for it becometh him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or complete through sufferings. Real quickly, I got about 3 minutes here, 4 minutes. Our faith grows when we trust the Lord and are content in life. Go to Romans 8 and also Hebrews 13:5. You're going to know these scriptures, but I want you to go there if you want to anyway. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Do you know that? No, I'm asking the question, do you know that all things in your life work together for the good? To them that are called according to his purpose. How do we know this? Because in verse 26 and 27, the Lord said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth thy infirmity. That's the Holy Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means we're not able to even utter them. Verse 27, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. We don't always do that, do we? But the Spirit does. Now go to Hebrews 13:5. I'm not going to finish this. I'm sorry. I have a couple of scriptures left. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation, lesson, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Not what you want, not what you wish for, but what you have. For he said, For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's the reason we can be content, isn't it? That's the reason our faith can be strong. That's the reason our prayer life needs to be strong. Because God gives us everything in life. Even our trials and tribulations and persecutions the Lord gives. In verse 6 there it says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. I will not fear this life. I will not fear what happens to me in this life. I'm going to be content because my God is stronger, more powerful, and more gracious, and more loving than they all put together. I'm going to finish this. Go to Galatians 6. This will be our last scripture. But I want you to keep this scripture in your heart. Where you leave this morning. I've said a lot of things. I've pushed it down your throats. I've really worked hard on it. But I want you to remember this. Verses 7 through 9 in Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall reap the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in the due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thank you. God bless you as you listen to this message this morning. Let's all stand.